This is not your regular meditation. It's something you surrender to, roll with, let it take you where you're meant to be. This is for those days when you can't concentrate, you don't feel like working, you don't feel like being creative, you want to be creative, you wish you were creative, you are creative, but not today. It's too hard, too much expected. For me, I think I'll take my critic on a cruise. I call up the yacht rental, book the cruise on my critic's charge, and we're off in my critic's red Ferrari to the marina where we board the yacht. My critic accepts only the top of the line, in food, clothes, movies, cars, in my work especially. The critic's standards are sky high, only the best and never a struggle. The critic doesn't care about the process. It only likes the finest wines, the finest woods, and it doesn't care how it got that way. It likes results. So we roar down the freeway, board our yacht complete with caviar and servants and a delicious banquet that seems unending. No wish is too great to come by. My critic commands the best, while I lie back and soak up the glorious sun, the exact right temperature to warm my bones. I wear my favorite bathing suit or nothing at all. I let the feeling of the wind cross my skin and stimulate my dreams. The critic's cruise where only the finest and best can be seen, rolling out to sea, severing all connections with the past, the future. Even the servants disappear. They've gone back to planet Earth, while we drift out past the barriers of time and space into a sea that could be anywhere. It's full of dolphins, whales, fish of every kind, color, and striation. Turtles swim by to say hello. We feed them soup and crackers. We drink Montrachet from the delicate crystal and fall into a deep and refreshing sleep. Birds overhead, a cool breeze, the sun fading slightly, the fish lapping and singing, not a care in the world. The critics on holiday, finally immersed with only the finest and the best. Sweet, sweet sleep overtaking, overcoming every care. All worries dissolve in the deep green sea as the yacht glides merrily to the right destination, the middle of the universe, the center of the fish-owned sea. We're sleeping still, drifting to our predestined meeting. When suddenly we're slammed by something, the ship's cut in two. Oh no, what do I do? Help, help, the critic is drowning. I save myself. I grasp onto a shiny black object that holds me afloat, bobbing in the water, being carried farther and farther from the drowning critic, the loss of the ship, the loss of the best of everything. The critic's last gasps are a distant call, as the obsidian life preserver bobs farther and farther away until I sleep again, not knowing if it's night or day. When I open my eyes, I'm lying face up on the deck of a ship with the sound of the whales and voices all around. I sit up as best I can. My eyes take in the enormous masts. The cold winds chill my aching bones. I've lost everything. Even my critic can't guide me home. Men are laughing from port to stern. Who's there, I call? Am I no longer alone? Get to your feet, a voice commands. There's grub in the galley and a dead crewman's clothes. On this ship every sailor earns his keep. And what ship might this be? The ship of no name, says he, the look of violence set firm in his eyes. He's dressed like a pirate from olden times. Every ship has a name, I say. The grub's in the galley, says he again. I descend the dark stairwell into the galley, which smells of onions and ham and a stench like burnt wood that's come back from the damned. No soul in sight as I take my food and later change into the pantaloons and torn shirt that the dead crewman left. I come up to deck where I'm stopped at once by a curly-haired man who says he's the captain and orders me to trim the sails. I don't know what that means, so he sends another shipmate to show me. We're after treasure, says the shipmate, on the island just there. He points into the beckoning night. Islands, I think. Civilization. Treasure, says he, riches we'll take and sexual pleasures we'll find. We take what we need, whether it's a person, a place, or a thing. The bounty is ours for the seeking. I trim the sails as we sluice through the sea. I stand at the ready for anything. Pirate's treasure on a pirate ship. Tomorrow we dock at the island, but for now, civilization is no longer mine. I've been cast out to sea, to seize what I can, to take life as it comes, whatever its form. When we dock at the island, there's not a soul in sight. Deserted but filled with fruit of all kinds, grass, huts, we take our map of the buried treasure and dig deep before we ram into a worm-eaten trunk. Old and tattered but filled with gold, silver, and emeralds, we haul it back to the ship. We'll sail for India and China. Now we have the money to forge our way. Days pass before I spot land. China, I think, where the emperor commands. Alas and alack, it's the land of lost monks. We only find out as we roam this island of temples. Surrounded by walled gardens and simple streams, monks walking around in robes that scrape the ground, dust in the air. They're in a state of lost meditation, like a land of lost dreams. That's their fortune for the taking. The captain rounds the monks into a circle and demands to have their fortune. One monk steps forward. "We have no fortune," says he. "Our faith is in God." "I can't spend that," the captain replies. "Money, that's what I need. Buried treasure, reveal yourself to me." A young boy comes forth with a basket of flowers. "I've dredged these from the sea," says he. "This bounty is our treasure. Our treasure is peace of mind." "Then no peace from now on will you find. I'll burn this place with the quick of a torch. Don't plan on tomorrow, don't count on today. Explore your last moments carefully. What words have you to say? Don't ask for forgiveness. Pray for gold. Pray for the heavens to rain down gold. Pray for the gold to save your life. And stop that chanting." But there was no stopping the chanting. It was a sound innate to the monks, and like a shield it rose up among them. The captain covered his ears with his hands. "Stop," he commanded, "stop." But the chant grew louder and louder and louder yet. "Get my guns, shoot to kill," the captain called. But the men backed away as if guided by God. They would not shoot the monks. Back toward their ship, toward their riches, their gold, their plundering ways, leaving the captain with his hands on his ears instead of his sword, and the brothers chanting their sacred prayer. "Be damned, then," he cried, and edged away, leaving me with the chanting monks. He threw over one emerald. "Your pay," he shouted. He was an honest man in a way all his own. The emerald glimmered in the fading sun. My pay, my comeuppance, my actual take. There I stood, head bowed, conscious of being alive, alone, yet surrounded by men in a world unknown. When the chanting ceased, a monk approached. "Traveler," he called me, "come and eat with us." Lentil soup, bread, vegetables picked from the garden were served outside as the sun set and fell behind the mountain. And here I lived for a year and one day, no thoughts of leaving or to sail away. I worked the fields by day and prayed in the silence of night. I watched the moon and stars. I felt myself becoming whole, yet attached to no one individually. I simply was. I existed. I lived like the others off the land and slept and woke as the sun would command. 1 year and one day before a ship sailed our way, a glorious sloop that sailed from afar. How majestic it looked cutting through the fog. A mirage of a sort until real it became. The brothers and I were tilling the fields, but the sloop stopped us all. "It's for you," someone said. "It's your time to go." "Traveler," they called me and bade me farewell, with warmth and caringness, but a willingness to let go. Traveler I will be. I packed lightly, took just what I'd need. 1 year and one day, and now it was time to be on my way. Before I descended the steep incline that led to the sloop the monks supposed was mine, I bid them a loving and true farewell. "Your patience and strength will stay with me always. But now you must go. Your critic awaits." "My critic," said I. "Indeed, it's your time. But my critic has perished in the deep, cruel sea." "Your critic has lived, but changed its ways. As you have grown in this year and a day, so your critic has changed and learned some new ways. I don't trust it, I said. I want to sail home. Home is within you. Yeah, that's just a cliché. It's your time, a monk declared. It's your year and one day. As I boarded the boat, it appeared no one was there. I weighed anchor and spread the sails. Critic, I called, are you taking me home? No answer. No answer till I was well out to sea, when finally a voice beckoned to me. Who speaks? 'Tis I, your friend and your foe. Show yourself, reveal to me what I must know. That occurs in time, said the faintly familiar voice, but for now simply sail and let the stars be your guide. 7 days, 7 nights, we sailed the high seas. No accosting this time, just the critic and me. Set sail, and let the stars be your guide. The water will take you, surrender your mind. And so we came back to port, the place we'd begun, having learned much and yet not come undone. Set sail, the water is fine. Let the stars guide you, surrender your mind. The Ferrari was waiting, its key inside. The critic beside me, still invisible, but for a voice that showed me the way. We'll have a new pact, it said. We'll go day by day. So home we traveled after a year and 8 days. Both the critic and I would have much to say. But for now the ride was silent. We followed each curve in the road. 1 year and 8 days had led us both home.